Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, next week they do take on Frankie Frisch's alum, the Fordham
Flash.
Before we transition from college football, I want to point out I will be heading to Blacksburg this weekend to hook up with Brian and see the Virginia Tech Notre Dame game. And while we don't do weddings, despite all the invites, we do tailgates. So if you're going to be in Blacksburg and want me and a couple friends to stop by now, I'm warning you, I'm coming with a friend who is literally a Brett Kavanaugh high school level partier.
Mike Judge?
Yes.
Mike Judge.
But would love to stop by your tailgate.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We're live from Chatter. Chatter is on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest.
You,
yeah, the Leaf Blowers are out from Pineapple Express or whatever.
Look at that.
Whatever we call the people who sins people. Pineapple Express, Pineapple something or other. We're at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest, Wisconsin Avenue Northwest in Friendship Heights. We are open tonight for trivia, which everybody likes. Get a nice crowd for trivia and all the baseball. The baseball at the game one, the wild card game.
Yes,
the National League wild card game. We'll talk to Richard Justice about that.
Tony, I listen to the show even when I'm not on, and I heard yesterday that you're showing soccer.
We would show soccer if anybody wanted to see it. We have enough televisions that we would show soccer if we're open.
So that's exciting news.
Yes, we would do that.
Kegs and eggs for the Premier League.
Yeah, and Champions League is I know you know this, but for people who don't, Champions League
UFEFA,
is today.
The UFEFA thing
that's
is on.
That's exactly
there.
Right.
Chris Saliza and Luke Russert, their voices are heard, and they are here. Michael Kornheiser is here.
You just lost 30% of your audience. So.
From the UEFA.
UEFA.
Not
yeah.
UFEFA.
UFEFA?
Susan Pfeffer.
UEFA.
Susan, don't drive, please. You can't. Even in the driver's ed car, you've got to be in a park.
Shut the door.
Nigel is here to run the board and do the news. I was handed this from Scott in Arlington. Could you please give a shout-out and congratulations to my friend Pete Wall and wife Jess for the birth of their first masculine child, Thomas. Pete and I have been friends for over 10 years since our time at the University of Wisconsin. We recently found out we were fellow littles while on a friend's bachelor party this summer when Pete dropped a casual cheesery in conversation. Congratulations, Pete and Jess. I know Thomas will grow up to be a real Choya boy. It's pronounced Choya, Choiya. I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure what
that means.
Don't
know what that means.
I don't know.
And
Thomas
from
is a good
Gary
name.
Matushak, yes, Thomas is a wonderful name. From Gary Matushak in Charlotte, my son Joshua has become a little after having to listen to you while in my car and now celebrating his 14th birthday. If you could sign this picture as a birthday card, he would be happy. FYI, Michael, do not teach baby boy Bootsy how to read. I have not had first dibs on the sports page since Joshua learned to read. Although I think that by the time baby boy Bootsy
He's
learns to read...
He's a digital native.
Yes, there's not going to be any sports page
per se. Just be uploaded to his brain.
Let's start. We'll start with some sports. Patrick Mahomes has his worst game, and it's still wonderful. Patrick Mahomes on the road in Denver in a divisional game with a sincere rival. Kansas City-Denver is every bit like Baltimore-Pittsburgh. This is a sincere division rival. Pat Mahomes, 2 fourth-quarter touchdown drives, beats Denver by 4, so Chuck Todd gets beat late because Chuck Todd had Kansas City giving 5. Jeff Ma, on the other hand, had Denver getting 5. Jeff Ma won. Jeff Ma, 3-1-1 this week. Chuck Todd, 4-2-1 this week. James Carville, 2-1 this week. And the Monkey, Reginald, 1-1-1 this week. I got the chance to hear Pat Mahomes speak this morning when I saw the post-game show with Steve Young and Lewis Riddick. I've never heard of it. It's a cartoon voice.
Scruff McGruff.
It is the graveliest voice.
Really? I've never heard
Luke, you've heard it, right?
I did. I was listening to 980 on the way in, and one of the commentators said it reminded him of Scruff McGruff. And I think it's Scruff McGruff. I agree with that. I think it was Cooley that said that, with a little bit of like a twang. But it's unique. It is very unique.
It is not the voice you think is going to come out of his body. It is absolutely not. It's gravelly. It's weird. Weird is the only way I can put it. You are taken aback when you hear him speak. He doesn't say anything crazy. It's just the voice.
Just the voice.
Now, his dad, Pat Mahomes, was a baseball player. Was he a pitcher? Or was he just a player? He was a pitcher.
Yeah, he was a pitcher. Yeah. Yes.
Which is why
I remember that name.
The kid can really spin it.
Did you?
The kid can. The kids.
He was also a good baseball player, but he got. He said he was bored in baseball, so that's why he wanted to play football.
More action when you're out there in football as a quarterback.
I know you didn't see this because it was on social media, but there is a. They were in Denver, obviously thinner air, and they had.
Maybe that would account for his voice.
There is a clip before the game of him warming up in which he slings one from the end zone to the 30 of the other. I mean, 65 yards easy.
He can throw
it.
It is not an effort. It is not an effort for him to throw it. This, I believe, establishes Kansas City. Now, Kansas City starts out well a lot and fades. They go 4-0, 5-0, 6-0 a lot, and they fade. So I don't want to make any proclamations, but it would seem to me that this establishes, and I don't know if we have any Patriots rooters here, but this establishes Kansas City and Jacksonville at the top of the AFC right now. I mean, they look like the best teams right now. Andy Reid, he knows quarterbacks. He does. He knows what he's got.
Best
he let,
in the league.
He let Alex Smith go, and Alex Smith's a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. He let him go to get this kid. And by the way, Case Keenum, who had a really good year last year in Minnesota, Case Keenum's fine.
Yeah, totally
serviceable. Case Keenum's fine.
A lot better than
what they had. He's much better at Denver than Trevor Siemian et al. I mean, he's much better. He had a guy open. He had Demaryius Thomas open. He had him open for the game winner and overthrew him. But I don't think you can say of Case Keenum, oh, he stinks. I don't believe that.
He's not in the DeShone Kizer category.
No.
DeShone Kizer is the worst player ever in the NFL to play quarterback.
Did you see just one other thing on Mahomes?
DeShone Kizer throws the ball straight up in the air. You think it's a 9-iron? What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't understand. Did you see where Mahomes, I think it's in the last drive where he throws it left-handed.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
I was just pretty good about that.
To get rid of it. I think he was thinking, I'll throw it. It will fall to the ground. It'll just be an incomplete pass, and I won't get sacked. But he actually completed it. And then he said he had done that a couple times before, but it had not been completed. You look at the rookie quarterbacks now who are playing right away, and they're all four of the high four draft choices, which are in order, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. They're all starting now. I think we could agree that Josh Rosen almost had his team win the game, and Baker Mayfield almost had his team win the game. The other two were not even close on Sunday. But I think it's meaningful. I'm curious with what you guys think. Pat Mahomes basically sat out the whole year. He played one game last year. I think you have to watch the NFL for a year to appreciate how much faster and better it is than college. I don't think you can go out there and win right away. I don't.
I think the thing that you see the most is the complexity of the defenses and the speed of the defenses is what they struggle with.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield, who I actually think is acquitted himself pretty well.
He looks good. But this kid looks great, Mahomes.
You don't have someone like you have at Oklahoma, where there's four people, no one is within 5 yards of those receivers.
That's
and you
right.
can just sling it.
That's right.
And
that's right.
If you start scrambling out.
No, DBs
out,
are great.
And if you
they
start,
close.
If you start scrambling out to your right, let's say, you can get away. In the pros, those dudes run you down.
And if you throw back to the left, picked off.
Every
That's
time.
Six.
Except for Mahomes last night, he
That's
was able
right.
to pull that off.
Mahomes has.
When you have a gun,
Mahomes
you can do
has
it.
A great arm. Yeah. He's got a. He's
he has to have the strongest arm in the league, right? I mean,
I
think that would be Josh Allen in Buffalo that has the strongest arm in the league. But does that
Big
always
cat.
Translate?
Is that right?
Big cat.
Does that always translate into success?
No.
It doesn't.
No.
Ryan Leaf being example 1A.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting about Mahomes, though, when you talked about sitting for the year. A lot of Bills fans freak out because that draft pick was the one the Bills traded to the Chiefs. We ended up getting a guy named Trey White, who's a Pro Bowl cornerback out of it, so it wasn't that bad for us.
It's not like the Christian Yelich trade for Derek Jeter.
But here's the thing that we have to understand. As good as Mahomes is, being with Andy Reid, the best QB coach in the NFL, being with Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, having good wide receivers, having a really good offensive line, that is a perfect situation. He does not do this in Buffalo. He does not do this in a Cleveland. He is in a very good place. Now, the system, what is the success? Is it the system or the man? New England's been having that debate now for 20 years. All that being said, I think in this case, you look at last night, He had 192 yards of passing outside of the pocket. That's the most in the NFL in the last 10 years.
Is that right?
Think about that. That's more than Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's more than the last 10 years.
Yeah.
This is almost a freak specimen that I think only now can be slowed down by injury. That's it.
I mean, I tend to agree that, that he looks – one of the notes I took was that because Wilbon hates Baker Mayfield. Just hates him and thinks he's Johnny Manziel and thinks he's a drunk and thinks he's going to get in trouble and wouldn't take him. So he's blind to whatever he does. I think that it's possible that Baker Mayfield could end up being a cross between Drew Brees and Fran Tarkenton. So we can go back and forth on Baker Mayfield. There's no debating Patrick Mahomes.
No. Not right now.
There's no debating. That's talent. I mean, that's obvious blooming talent. In other sports news, the wild card is set. This is such a terrible position to be in for Colorado and Chicago, particularly I think Chicago, because both those games would be at home, that they could lose 2-1 games and be out. They could lose, and Chicago could lose them both at home. Chicago got pecked to death last night or yesterday afternoon by the Milwaukee Brewers, in which Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, who are the big acquisitions of Milwaukee.
And Braun.
You know, Braun has been there a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Braun didn't have much of a game when he struck out the first three times he was up, but then he had the big hit.
Right.
And then you can tell me later, if you want, off air, why he tried to steal second with a man on third and one out, thereby eliminating the sacrifice fly.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to tell me why he did that. Anyway, they got three runs off Chicago, and then they put Josh Hader out there. Yep. And that's good night. That's good night, because he pitched two innings. So Milwaukee catches and passes Chicago. And if you watch that game, maybe you were as surprised as I was how many people in the stands seem to be Milwaukee fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it's close. I know it's a close drive, but I would have thought that Cubs people would have owned those seats.
I would agree. My only thought was Milwaukee has had less success, certainly less recently than the Cubs.
Sure.
So maybe the fans come because this is their opportunity. Also, does that...
It's close. It's 2-hour
drive. And the mentality is, you know, you have two options. If you win yesterday afternoon, you save up to go to the NLDS.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you have a must-win game today.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee. Had Milwaukee lost, they would have hosted the game.
I believe so.
No, they would have hosted the game.
I was referring to the Cubs fans.
Oh, Cubs. Yeah. Okay, so the other thing.
There were a lot of tickets.
They have the Cubs game is home today again, right?
Okay. The NL Central team that did not make the division championship was going to host the wild card game regardless.
Got it.
We'll ask Richard Justice about that, whether that's fair. Colorado played in the late game. Colorado has to get on a plane and go to Chicago. I don't know how fair that is. Walker Buehler. He pitched great. Dodgers dominate Colorado. Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy both hit big home runs. They win 6-2. And again, my question, and we'll get to Richie. Is this fair? Is this fair to make the late game loser have to go halfway across the country from Los Angeles to Chicago to play in a game today? Is that a night game or is that a day game?
It's a night game. It's tonight.
Night game.
And the two teams have not played.
So we'll have
since
that on
May.
And chatter.
They haven't played since May, and they split the series. It was a 6-game series. They split, you know, both, and the runs were 33-33. So they're pretty evenly matched. Going two lefties, Rockies with Freeland, Cubs with Lester.
Rockies, for you Nats fans, are managed by
Buddy Black.
Who would have been
former Nats manager if we had not? Could have been Nats manager
money.
If we hadn't lowballed it.
Right.
What do you want? We'll give you $20 a game.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Madden manages that bullpen
Desmond,
tonight.
That's interesting about all of this is that the bullpen questions after what happened yesterday make this game so exciting tonight.
So Wilbon was we're watching the game, and watching a game with the Cubs and Wilbon is torture. Because no matter what happens, he puts the most negative spin on it.
Here it starts.
Well, we're going to lose.
Here we go again. Well, you're panicking.
But one of the things he said that I looked at him, he said, you have to manage differently in this game because of the possibility of the game tomorrow. So, no, there's no way that Milwaukee uses Hader. And I go, what?
You have to win the game.
There's no way. I said, Mike, if you close it out and you win it, you don't go for 3 days.
Right.
Of course you use Hader. How can you not? How can the Cubs not? How can Milwaukee not use their best reliever? Because the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is obvious.
Yeah,
and he goes, no, you don't use Hader. Well, Hayter pitched two innings.
Zach Britton is still in the bullpen in Toronto.
Right. Yeah. Right. Waiting for Buck Showalter.
Save him. He's warming up.
I had to leave. I just said, I'm going to go downstairs, get ready for the show. And I knew it was going badly. At 1-1, he was fretting. At 3-1, he was a complete basket case. I didn't know that we would actually do PTI yesterday because I didn't know. But we did. And he said, look, this is what I thought. And we'll lose again tomorrow. He thinks about firing Joe Maddon. I go, you won one World Series in 108 years.
Nationals, right. we can make an availability.
It wasn't all that long ago, wasn't it? Wasn't it 2 years ago, three years ago, something like that?
Anyway, fans. So we'll take a break. We will come back with Jason Lockenfora,
yes,
of CBS Sports and the NFL. We'll go back into the NFL. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Getting tickets online can be far too complicated with hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why SeatGeek is the way to go. SeatGeek pulls millions of tickets into one place so you can easily find the seats you want for a price you're willing to pay. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Now it wants me to motivate my audience.
Oh, I'm ready.
Like I'm Joel Osteen or something. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to source for everything from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Then it asks me to say, I actually have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I don't, but Chris does.
I do, and I use it.
And it's by far the easiest way you've found to shop for tickets, right?
It's not even close. I'm not exaggerating. People who have listened to the show have heard this before. When I landed in Los Angeles last year, I thought, oh, I wonder if the Dodgers are in town. And by the time I stood up to get my bag, I had booked a seat.
So there you go.
With the discount.
Tickets starting at $82 for tonight's Cubs wildcard game.
Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So you could conceivably get those tickets for $62. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony. For $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And this is a very good tagline that they added after a couple of years of not having a tagline. SeatGeek, life's an event, we have the tickets. That's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah, it's good writing.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Peter Dyke, who writes, I've included the links to a few of Sparkman's newest songs, led by my good friend and old roommate Chris Verkaterin on lead guitar and vocals. Sparkman is an alternative rock band from Charlotte, North Carolina, with their influences ranging from Dave Matthews to the Kings of Leon. Their newest album, Searching for the Dawn, dropped in early September and can be found in all the usual places, namely SoundCloud and Spotify. It says that Chris has always had a passion for music, going from playing rock and roll covers in Chapel Hill as part of our fraternity house band to starting his music career along with his professional career here in Charlotte. I'm not too sure that any of the members of Sparkman are familiar with the Tony Kornheiser Show, but I'm a loyal millennial little who wants to support his friend and spread the word about the great music they're making. And there's an interesting PS here that we're going to get to Jason Lockenfora in a second. It says, Michael, when you were an instructor at the Lawrenceville School, you coached my best friend Turner Allison on the golf team. I remember him telling me about a golf trip to England and Scotland where you chaperoned and how amazing that whole thing was. You didn't teach it.
No, I taught at Blair Academy, but Turner was one of the student athletes
on the
Blair Swift's trip where we toured the UK for a month after his senior year.
Good player. Wow.
Very good player.
So there you go. Connective tissue.
Were you a good chaperone?
I was the best.
You were cool.
And by that, you mean you weren't a good chaperone.
Well, they were all 18. They could drink over there.
So I like beer.
Yeah. They love beer.
Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports joins us now. And the first, I write the questions out the night before, and the question I wrote was all four rookie quarterbacks who were drafted high started and lost, and I was going to ask you who's the best of them, but that was before watching Pat Mahomes again.
Yeah.
So can you put all five of them in some sort of perspective?
First, real quick, I like beer. I can't stand UB40.
that is the greatest detail ever. Oh, you know, I just got in a fight with Chris Dudley after going to UB40 concert with a guy who we thought looked like the UB40 singer who got sick of us staring at him. Sure. It's like the most 80s thing ever.
Good temperament
there. We got
there.
Fights over it. Yeah. We like beer. Yeah. I wonder if they were drinking Red Stripe. Damn it, there's a story there. Okay, where were we? Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, he's a different class.
Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other. And, you know, we can have this chicken and the egg type argument about whether to incubate these kids or whether to just let them play right away. And obviously, the infrastructure and the brain power and the plan and the ability to stick with that plan because you already have a competent team together are mitigating circumstances that all worked in his favor. And you've got Andy Reid and you've got Alex Smith there, and you had one season where, you know, he could just run the scout team and he could be a sponge. And all year long, I was hearing, like, this kid at practice is a freak of nature. Like, you know, even if Alex Smith wins the MVP award, he's going to have a hard time sticking around here because the other guy is younger and cheaper and still possibly at least as good, if not better. And so that's a grand slam for the Chiefs. And they've got that kid really making no more money for three more years, although he won't ever get to a franchise tag situation. He'll have a big boy contract. Yeah. Before that, I mean, the rest of them, Tone, I mean, this year's models, I don't know. They've played so little, and everybody, I understand the need and the want and the desire to start picking them apart and separating them and who does this and who does that. You know, the two I thought were maybe most immediately ready were Darnold and Rosen. But, you know, what do they have going on around them? Sam's coach is already in sort of disrepair, and I don't think Todd Bowles will be his guy for year two. Rosen's with the guy in Steve Wilks, who is just starting to figure things out and is clearly learning a lot on the fly. Buffalo, that's such a non-competitive team right now that he's just going to be a human pinata a lot of weeks. That's the plight of Josh Allen. That's why they had Nathan Peterman as the previously assigned human pinata, so that their golden boy doesn't get wrecked each week. But right now, I mean, it is what it is. And Baker has the ability to be special, and what he did in one half against the Jets was special. But it's a little bit different to lead the team all week long in practice and to take the show on the road and, you know, to get away with some of the things on the road that you can get away with at home. It's just not the same circumstances. But, the one that scared me the most was Josh Allen, and he will frankly continue to scare me the most until I see otherwise, because the situation he's in is difficult, and I think it could end up sort of exacerbating some of the flaws he already had.
Okay. Let me go around the league. Maybe there is news that you know about that I'm vague on. Le'Veon Bell has said he's going to come back, but when he decided to come back will be in 3 to 6 years or something, and then he wants people to throw cash at him when he walks down the streets. What is this? What is this?
You know, I was on the phone with some Steelers people last night when sort of that word broke. Or actually, it was more like, I guess, late afternoon. Coming back on the bye week would be strange. They don't play a game that week, and they're going to put you on an exempt list, which means they're not going to pay you that week. In all likelihood, I still don't think he's ever playing a game for the Steelers again.
You don't?
To be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, even the timing of this, so he's going to come back right before the trade deadline. Well, nobody plays in week 7, so you don't have to worry about him getting hurt. And then it's a matter of do we give him one more week to get in shape and then roll our dice with this guy and hope he doesn't get hurt, and now we're paying him $7 million for half a season to rehab for some other team in free agency? You know, or do we just look at this as addition by subtraction, and because we know the injury risk is heightened when a guy misses this much time, and because he's had a history of suspensions and off-field stuff, and if anything happens with that, we're not going to be able to trade him and we're stuck with him. And because we don't think, frankly, a lot of guys in our locker room will welcome him back. And it also may be a little late. I mean, they lose to Atlanta this week. All of a sudden, you know what I mean? By week 8, they might not look like a contender.
That's right.
They might not think he can save them. So I still look at a lot of indicators. And just from the sense I was getting from Steelers people last night, it wasn't like, ooh, he's coming back in a couple weeks, so like we can't wait to give him a big hug and we're going to go dominate in the second half.
No, it's an incredible slap at them.
Why aren't more people calling for this guy? Please, like, who else do you think we should talk to? Like, we're so mad that Tampa Bay fell apart because they're the worst rushing team in the league, and darn it, if they were 3-1, we think they'd come get this guy right now.
Yeah, man, and it's a terrible slap to all your teammates, I think. All right, let me move on. There were two calls. There were a variety of calls. A lot of people go on fourth down. But Mike Vrabel went on fourth down, and he gave the ball to Marcus Mariota, who threw a pass that was good enough. And Frank Reich went on fourth down, and he gave the ball to Andrew Luck, who threw a pass that was not good enough. Frank Reich's team, Indianapolis, lost the game as a result. Deshaun Watson went 20 yards on one pass, and then they kicked a field goal, and they won the game. Tennessee scored a touchdown, had like a 97-play drive or something like that, and scored a touchdown and won.
Yes.
What do you think of both calls, and what do you think of the possibility that Reich lost the battle but won the war by winning the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, Vrabel, that if anybody hasn't seen that fifth quarter overtime drive,
yeah.
They completed three fourth downs, including a fourth and 12 or a fourth and 15. Then they had a PI call, aid them, and get them another first down on like fourth and four. And then they converted another one when Mariota made a play, and then he capped the drive with a jump ball to Corey Davis in the end zone as overtime was nearing its expiration.
11 seconds left. Yeah, 11.
Yeah. I think he snapped the ball on 15. They have something going on there. They played four weird games. They found a way to win three of them, and they won a couple without a quarterback. And the way they're playing on defense is downright menacing. Carson Wentz's numbers look good. The only reason they weren't perfect is because every time it was an incompletion, it was because somebody was either in his face or pummeling him or sacking him. I think he got – I had him counted hit 9 or 10 times. Like full-on hit. So they've got something going on there, and I, you know what, like, really, I don't think he had any choice but to go for it. And, I mean, obviously, you're going for it on fourth down and overtime. Why not? And even the idea of kicking the tie, I don't buy that. I think the guy who got saved, the guy we would all be talking about right now as, like, buffoon of the week, and he would be fighting for his job as Bill O'Brien.
Yep. Yes.
Didn't go for it on fourth and 10, deep in overtime, who kicked a field goal, leaving Andrew Luck, who had systematically carved his
yes.
facsimile of a defense up in the entire second half, who he couldn't hold a lead on. He gave Luck the ball back with 2 minutes left. And that fourth and two, I mean, could the guy have caught it? Couldn't have he? I don't know. But I don't mind what Frank Reich did. I love what Frank Reich did a million times more than I like what Bill O'Brien did. These are two teams that aren't going anywhere this year in all likelihood. The Colts are a young, for the most part, a young team with a young general manager, and you don't play for a tie there. And Frank Reich's going to be who he was, which is what he was in Philadelphia, and he's part of the thinks like Doug Peterson. So, no, this team we're playing that's 0-3 and we're at home, yeah, I'm going for it on 4th-and-2. I don't care if it's at my own 40-yard line. I think that's what you do. I mean, what good is a tie? Were they going to be 1-2-1? And O'Brien playing to go 0-3-1. If I'm in that locker room, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know we just won this game, but what was that?
I thought his job, like, I thought he might have gone at 0-4. He might have been the first guy fired. He might have been.
And they blew a 28-17 lead.
If Andrew Luck completes that thing and the Colts go down and kick a field goal, like, what do you say to your owner? You know what I mean? Like, well, man, I think at 0-3-1, we would have had a chance. Like, really? What's the difference?
Okay. All right. So you look around and you worry about the Pats and you worry about the Steelers and you worry about the Eagles.
I don't worry about the Pats.
You don't? Really? Okay. I would, because they were handled pretty well by Jacksonville, the only good team they played. But I was setting up this question. You look at the Giants, and they look really – they look inept. Eli Manning looks like it's over. Am I overstating it?
I've been thinking it's over with him for 2 years. So, okay. No, I was firmly in camp. They need desperately to draft a quarterback, but they never will even entertain it because the owners are trying to put Fanny in his seats right now and pretend like they could still win.
They're no good. He's no good, right? He's lost it. It's over.
No, and I think the offensive line stuff gets blown out of proportion. Like, the degree to which people defend him, like, well, you know, they don't block that well. Well, okay, but they got a running back who was almost the first overall pick.
He's good.
They got the best wide receiver in any given Sunday in football. They've got two complimentary receivers. They've got speed all over the place. They've got a tight end who, if you can get him the ball in stride, can take things far after the catch. And nobody gets hit in stride there. And it's not always the protection. And, I mean, who has everything? You know, like, it's increasingly rare in this league that there's a quarterback who's got a great offensive line and great receivers and great tight ends and great backs. I mean, the league's set up not to allow that to happen with the cap and everything else. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have an offensive line. Tom Brady's had nothing. I mean, you know what I mean? Roethlisberger, early in his career, never had an offensive line. You know, now he's playing without arguably his best player, Le'Veon Bell, and I know it doesn't look good, but he's still producing better than Eli Manning. I do feel like Eli just kind of from a large segment of the population, media, fans, even guys in the game, just kind of, it's always something else, you know what I mean? But, well, I don't know. He throws interceptions at an alarming rate. He doesn't even hit, you know, guys. Like, he had a chance to win that game with a, or at least make it a real game. He's got Odell running free on the inside on a slant. He throws it outside. I mean, that wasn't the left tackle. You can't blame Eric Flowers for that one. It wasn't the right tackle either. Oh, wait, they benched Eric Flowers, and they still stunk. Like, oh, so maybe Eric Flowers isn't the entire reason that they're a messed up organization?
Thank you, Jason. You want to plug your podcast? Is the dog anywhere nearby?
He is. I got to be careful. His back legs are kind of messed up. I'm going to take him to the vet, so okay. Hopefully he doesn't go too crazy.
Don't.
Hey, Tone, this week we're going to be talking about that big win over the Steelers horn out there at Heinz Field. Yeah, Copper stayed up late for that one. He got a big kick out of the Ravens knocking off the Steelers. Is Buck Showalter going to be fired by the time the people hear this pod? I don't know, but we'll certainly be talking about that on the Be More Opinionated podcast. Check us out on the iTunes, at BMO Show Pod, on the Twitter. Anything else, Copper? I think we're good, son.
Take care of the dog. Take care of the dog. We'll talk to you. Thank you, Jason.
I'm sorry?
Thank you, Jason.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, he's right in my ear. Okay, thanks.
So great.
Bye-bye.
That dog is so great. Just the greatest.
It's Pavlovian.
Dog. Fantastic dog.
Okay. Eli's a Hall of Famer, don't you think?
Two Super Bowls probably gets you to the Hall
and
of Fame.
And the 18-1. I mean, knocking off that juggernaut. Yeah. To me, he's a Hall of Famer.
Probably.
For that.
Probably.
Yeah.
But he's fallen. And this is what happened with Peyton.
Right.
Like the, yes. But it's off not his arm cliff. Strength. It's Peyton. Lost his arm strength, but he had neck operations and stuff like that. I will take a break. We'll come back with news when we return, and we will ask Luke about the Emmy.
Oh, yes.
About Luke.
Oh, yeah.
A real Emmy.
When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, this is the 23andMe. This is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, and whether you're likely to be lactose intolerant and more. It's easy to do. You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit, and you mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. I'm going to do this, although I'm honestly a little bit reluctant to do this, only because I'm old and I don't want to find out I'm going to be dead by tomorrow afternoon.
Right.
So, are you sitting
down, Mr. Kornheiser?
We're surprised you're still alive.
I just did this with my mother.
Right.
It was a wonderful way to connect with my parent. Michael, you and your father should do it.
I'm going to do it.
It was really neat to find out where exactly you are from because you hear all these things in family folklore.
I think I'm from Norway.
Yeah. But the
I
most,
think I'm Norse.
You are a Viking.
You're Norse? Yeah, you got a little
Viking.
I think
so. I think it was the small tribe of Jews that sailed from Oslo.
That's right.
To America.
Small but resilient.
Yes, yeah. I think I'm that.
You used to have the long blonde locks.
I used to have that. The bitter taste report and sweet and salty reports that DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences from sweet to salty and bitter. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. And the sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. There's another way to find out how much you're likely to move. Just whoever's next to you say, how much did I move? The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet. And again, if you want to eat less saturated fats.
Eat less saturated fats.
Works. The lactose intolerant report sheds insights into how your genetics may affect your ability to digest dairy products. I'm going to do this. I'm going to order 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andMe.com/Tony. That's the number 23, those two numbers, 2 and 3, and me.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jessica Mitchell. We played one of our songs yesterday.
That's right.
Sent in by her dad. She played last night in Nashville at the City Winery opening for Terry Clark. This is called Fire Chaser. The talent is just...
It's amazing, isn't it?
Just, the talent just is so humbling for those of us who wonder what we're doing. Because this girl's great. Michael, if people want to send in their original music or their dads or their moms or their friends want to send it in for them, how do they do it?
Please send your music to the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And I should point out that if you do send in your friends or your daughters or your brother's music,
you can't
just say, "Oh, I talked to them, and they're okay with it." They actually need to email us as well.
That's when I talked to Paul McCartney, he said we could use the Beatles tunes.
Yeah. So, is that true? So before we do the news,
Sir Paul McCartney.
And I don't even care if we get to much of the news because we can't do this in old guy because Richie Justice is an old guy. Luke was in Los Angeles a week and a half ago for the Emmys. And Luke's mom, Maureen Orth, was nominated for Go.
Well, many of them. The show was.
Right.
Had 18 nominations. But the big wins were for the best limited series and for best actor.
And this was Gianni Versace.
The Assassination of Gianni Versace, which is based upon my mother's book called Vulgar Favors, which is on Amazon right now. I encourage you to purchase a copy so I can continue traveling the world. And
Luke needs you to fund his travels.
Go fund Luke.
Yes, that's right.
Pretty much
with her, Luke Russer.
So she gets a bunch of nominations. And you decide you're going to go.
This is a wild story. So she gets a call 2 years
ago. Take your time.
Basically saying, hey, we want to put your book in production. We don't know if we're ever going to actually do a show based on your book, but we would like to buy the rights to it.
Was this Showtime or HBO?
No, this was FX.
Oh, okay. FX. Oh, FX had the Americans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. All those people were there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have not watched the Americans enough, so I didn't know who these folks were. Right. I had watched Atlanta, so I knew who Childish Gambino was, Donald Glover. So that was very cool. That was my, oh my gosh, moment. But all that being said, she gets this call and she says to me, well, should I do this? I go, Mom, that book's been collecting dust. It's like someone called you about Pumping Irony.
Take it.
We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then she gets this call and says, well, you know what? We had this success with the OJ show, the People versus OJ Simpson. We want to continue down this murder.
And that was Tubin's book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to go down this crime drama tunnel. And they continued. So they did it. And it started out with Ricky Martin was the big name. He plays Versace's boyfriend, and Penelope Cruz plays his sister. The guy who played Versace's tremendous, a Venezuelan actor. But the star was this kid from Glee named Darren Criss, who he had assumed a sort of following as a good character, a sort of singing Broadway type of guy. No one really knew if he could do the deep, emotional, dramatic acting. Not only could he do it, he ends up winning Best Actor.
That's great.
Which is incredible. Yeah. So we were fortunate.
And he plays
Andrew Cunanan, the serial killer. And he's just, the performance is masterful. And then part of the reason why the show did not just sweep was that it was the only show that would have two nominees in a single category. So we had two people up for Best Supporting Actress, two people up against for Best Supporting Actor. It was a very talented, talented show. The experience was great. Got to accompany my mom. We were talking off air. We've had cool experiences in D.C. and New York. No one does it like L.A. And you get put in the bubble with all the little people running around with their earpieces and the red carpet, and that's just tremendous. But
did you walk the red carpet with your mother?
Well, I was not allowed to walk the red carpet.
Oh,
I was not big time enough.
My mom. No,
my mom was the person with the gold ticket. I had like the red ticket, so I had to.
You're in the back.
I'm in the back. So my mom's up there with the cast and crew. She's up there with the cast and crew and Ricky Martin and all those people. And I'm watching in the back. I had an exit row seat, which was great at the Emmys.
Because
I'm very neurotic. If I get caught in the middle, I'm in a suit, I'm freaking out.
You gotta check your fantasy football team. I'm in black tie.
I'm freaking out. So I had access to a bathroom, access to a bar, and leg room.
Good.
I was very happy.
Good.
And I started the conversation with the lady next to me. And I go, so what show did you work on? What brings you here? She goes, oh, I'm just a seat filler.
Those are the coolest people.
She's been a seat filler since 1976. She said, Oscars, Golden Globes, Emmys, the entire.
She's a pro.
Right, she's a pro.
She's a pro.
Basically, we did all that. And then a great after party. Got to hang out with the cast and crew.
Were there people you saw where you went, wow, that's cool. I met this person or that person.
Well, unlike the White House Correspondents' Dinner where it's free reign, you're pretty segregated here.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
I'm very little here. Remember, I'm very, very little.
You don't get to near
beautiful
people.
No, so I got to see the cast of The Crown from a distance. I yelled out to Claire Foy, I love you. She gave me a great little wave.
Yeah.
But the fellow FX shows, I got to hang out with those people. So, like as I said, Donald Glover, Lakeith Stanfield, probably a lot of people you haven't heard of, but that was neat.
I don't watch
and
that
And the
show.
Cast of the Americans, but I, again, I
well,
don't
you didn't
watch
know them.
Them.
You, and now Matthew Reese won.
He did.
He won yeah. Best Actor. Kerry yeah. Russell
should have won.
Should have won. She should have won but, every year.
Yes. As long as we're...
But
we're,
Joe Weisberg and Joel Fields, they won. For Best Scripted Drama.
Yes, as yeah, well they should
As long
have.
As we're star ducking, though, I got to tell you a really interesting story.
Okay.
So
did this happen inside the borders of the United States?
Yes, this is really
because usually so, you're
he spends after, most of his time outside of these.
Right. After LA, my mother and I go to Tucson, Arizona, to visit her old friend Larry McMurtry, author of Lonesome Dove.
Oh, sure.
Yes,
sure. That's a good name drop on your part. That was
all
good.
All the little millennials out there, go pick up a book by Larry McMurtry. There's so many Terms of Endearment, Lonesome Dove. There's just so many good ones.
But he made some dough.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, he was the first author to actually really get his stories into those limited series in the 80s.
Yeah.
And those are incredible. Yeah. So, long story short, we're at this hotel in Tucson called the Arizona Inn, and I'm sitting there having breakfast, and this guy walks in, kind of long, curly hair, and he goes, "Good morning to you." And I look at him, and I go, "Mr. Plant, Robert Plant."
Oh, is that right?
And he goes, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you."
Wow.
I freaked out.
Yeah.
It was Robert Plant.
Led Zeppelin,
and the
sure.
nicest guy in the world. Talked your ear off, talked about everything, would not do selfies, though.
Oh, is that right?
And he goes, "You know, I don't look the way I used to look." And I'm like,
"Well, nobody does.
You know, it does.
Welcome
nobody
to life."
Does. But he was really cool.
Hey,
really
does cool. he live there or was he just...
No, he's on tour.
Oh, he's on tour.
He's on tour.
Okay.
And he was going around there. And it the irony is that prior to L.A., I was in Seattle. I had lunch with Kenny Mayne. ESPN,
yes, sure.
Name drop. And we were at the Edgewater Hotel.
I've stayed there.
Which
That's
is
where
a,
the Beatles stayed.
Where the Beatles stayed. But Led Beatles Zeppelin stayed. Had a wow. very famous incident that occurred there that we can't talk about on radio.
Okay.
So it was very incident.
But that's, I love staying in that hotel because the Beatles had stayed there. It's a lovely hotel.
How did you get
it's right
to
on
Edgewater?
The water. Monday Night Football. Oh, well, you had to.
Yeah.
I had to.
Hey, Tone, I just wanted to jump on Luke's stories. I recently had a vasectomy in Silver Spring. Oh, yes. So
no, you did do a mobile order at Starbucks. I always wonder who does the mobile order.
Did you?
Who doesn't?
Were you expecting the show to win and your mother to win? Or were
no.
You,
we,
did you go on stage, too?
I was with the seat filler. My mom went on stage.
I saw your mom on stage. I didn't see you.
No, we were not. We knew we had a good chance, but the night was not going well. There was this random show that I never heard of that was the Matilda or Madeline.
Oh,
or
no,
so
that's
that,
the Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Yeah, whatever.
Yes.
That, so that was just, no one saw that coming.
That's Amazon.
So I was sitting there with everybody, and these people go, "You got to be kidding me." I mean, this was like, you know, there's the Boise State of the Emmys. We're like, what's happening here?
Amazon.
Okay.
Chunk
right.
company.
Yeah. And then, you know, we picked up one for writing, which was really nice. And then came the Best Actor. And that was like, okay, we're on a roll here. And then we get the Best Limited Series.
That's
so
great.
It is nice.
But can you drink out of the Emmy? Like the Stanley Cup?
No, but for
no,
the
first
no time.
There's no hole in the Emmy.
For the
I don't know.
You
I haven't won one yet.
I put toilet paper on
it. Yes, you put toilet paper on it. The wings of the Emmy are perfect to put a roll of toilet paper on,
yes.
Which is why those of us who have two Emmys
That's right.
put it in the bathroom
sure.
with toilet paper on it.
Now we got a family of Emmys. My mother, my late father, and myself.
That's
so
did I mention
Emily,
my vasectomy?
No, you did. What else do we have in news? Do we have any news? Any news that's important?
Yes, Chris Elizabeth received a vasectomy the other day.
You're saying it wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
we
do you want to talk about the Capitals, Tom Wilson?
Not covered by insurance.
Would you like to talk about Le'Veon Bell?
We did already. With Jason.
Sorry, I was reviewing.
Doesn't listen to the show.
The Capitals tickets, by the way, we got to go on SeatGeek for this banner. I mean,
that's tomorrow
it's insane.
Night. Tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that game will be shown at Chatter tomorrow night, Wednesday night. For those of you who remember that we have the all caps flag. They are undefeated when we displayed the all caps flag.
Yes.
I mean, basically, they won the Stanley
because
Cup
of us.
Because of this
and
restaurant.
The brain
so you're welcome.
Stick
yes.
that may have been used.
We choose
slash
to
was
on,
used
on game
on the save.
Two. On
yes.
the save.
Yeah.
Okay, that's here. That is here, actually.
Yes, the holy relic.
Yes, what do you have? The grail. The grail itself.
Yes. did you want to talk about Markieff Morris getting ejected?
What a dope.
In a preseason game.
What a dope.
How does that happen?
You know, him and his brother,
Marcus
him and
Morris.
His brother
right,
are people that you say to yourself, in a terribly critical circumstance, are they going to go nuts? Because that's how they play. They're so chesty. And they're very fine players, but they're so chesty. Why do you get tossed? He got tossed because a rookie bothered him.
Yeah.
And he
wouldn't stop barking back at him. Nice. And there you go, ejected from a preseason game.
Yeah.
Somebody else who's going to be sitting out a little bit of time is Mark Whipple, the football coach for UMass. He was suspended for 1 week without pay in order to undergo sensitivity training after this comment in the post.
This.
Yeah, he said, "We had a chance there with 16 down, and they rape us." He picks up.
Oh my God! You can't use that.
What is
verb
wrong with you?
About a penalty flag?
Oh my! Not
you
today.
Can't, no,
not today.
No, you can't. That's and that is suspension for a week is unbelievably. Like they could fire him.
They could have.
They easily could fire him. This is state school.
Yeah.
That easily
what are you
fire
doing?
Him. It's public school.
Why? Yeah, why not easily. Make a comparison to Nazi Germany?
It's just so ridiculous.
Oh my God. Right.
So ridiculous.
I keep laughing like Kawhi Leonard. I got to get out of this. Did you guys have seen these clips of Kawhi Leonard's laugh?
Kawhi Leonard the
Kawhi,
laugh?
Kawhi, no, Kawhi, I've not.
Yeah, it's odd.
I can't.
Yeah.
I keep doing it now because I've been watching
it's
it
like
repeatedly
very odd.
On YouTube.
Very I just
odd.
Need to hear Pat Mahomes
so
speak.
Funny.
Nigel, did you go see A Star Is Born last night?
Oh,
why
yes,
don't you
I
tell
did.
Us about that?
I did.
It looks so good.
It was really
Lady
good.
Gaga.
Lady Gaga is in that, yeah.
She
yeah.
can sing a little bit.
Yeah.
She's a little bit of a good singer. Yeah, no, it's...
What is her name? Stephanie what?
Germanotti.
Okay.
She was terrific. I mean, she was in the movie itself.
This is the third remake of an original movie. This is
yes.
the fourth A Star Is
And
Born.
Bradley
yes.
Cooper, noted Georgetown alum,
yeah.
directed, correct?
Directed his debut, yes. And he really knocked it out of the park. There's some great... small homages to some of the former versions of this.
Well, Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand have
yes.
played this part.
And it's just brilliantly done. There's a lot of great commentary on the music industry and sort of creativity and selling out. And which
we are all for.
Oh my gosh.
We are for selling
pro
out.
Pay me. Pro
pay
me selling
now.
Out.
Yes, please.
And
how
you know,
much? Yes.
Yeah. And
I will take that.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper just does a terrific job. I mean, he really sells it. The music I thought was terrific.
Can he sing?
Is it original music?
Yes.
Who,
I mean, it's
who
original.
Did it?
It's like
he can sing.
It's like Joaquin Phoenix Walk the Line style.
Really?
He learned.
And
you know
he learned how
thank
to play everything.
Thank you for
everything.
Mentioning that. I'm not a fan of his because I think he's really weird.
Yeah.
But he is 100,000% believable as Johnny Cash.
Oh, he's so terrific. Good in that movie.
That movie,
he's,
that's a
Reese
great
Witherspoon
he's
is really
be
good
the Joker.
June.
He's yes. also going to be the Joker, which is going to be, I guarantee you,
he's too,
100.
Too weird for me.
Yeah,
too
but weird. He's
super
Johnny
weird.
Cash
oh,
was
great.
Great. And Bradley Cooper, I mean, he did not know how to play instruments before this, but took vocal lessons, had to lower his voice range, learned how
could
to play
guitar. Could have got Pat Mahomes to speak for him.
Could have had Pat Mahomes, but really learned how to play guitar. And I play, obviously, not
everybody
very well.
Everybody knows you play.
Right, everybody knows that. So I was really looking at, you know,
his
how
hands,
he was playing.
His fingers?
And, I mean, it was
were they
like,
his hands or were they superimposed?
No, it was his hands. No, it was his hands. And it was his, I mean, they just played really, really well. And I mean, it's a heartbreaking story.
Is there any small cameo by Brett Kavanaugh?
Yes, no. He plays a pivotal role when they go on The Voice.
What are the size of Bradley Cooper's hands? Would you say they're average or small?
Do they have big hands, Bradley Cooper?
Big hands.
Donald Trump reference.
Big hands.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was great. Dave Chappelle has a small role.
Oh, really?
Sam Elliott is in it. And anytime Sam Elliott opens up his voice, that's what real men sound like. Yes. Yeah, so, but I can't say enough of it. I mean, it was really, really good. I loved it. So,
we don't need any more news. You and Luke can tell stories of your life. Have you been outside the country lately, like Luke has been?
I'm not allowed to. My passport has been suspended.
Are you outside the country enough that you actually don't have to pay taxes anymore because you're so far outside?
Well,
the
if
country?
We had time, I could tell you my World Cup in Russia stories. I mean, I haven't seen you in a long time. I've been
because you're
on the
everywhere.
Road.
I'm here.
What's insane, and I just want to say a big thank you to the Littles. This is the God's
They'll
honest
find
truth.
You.
Okay. I've been everywhere, man. Like the song says.
Yeah.
All right. I get Littles. They are on the DMs. They're on the tweets. Like I'm driving through Alpine, Texas, outside of Marfa. Lovely lady sends me. She goes, "Oh my God, you're in Alpine. You know, we live here. You got to go see X, Y, and Z." And I took up one of her recommendations. It was a beautiful.
And Luke,
vista.
Remind people of your / my favorite Instagram feed because you can live through Luke.
Yes,
and trust me, it's a good life.
At Luke Russert.
At Luke Russert. Seriously, follow. Luke has a fascinating life.
All right, we'll come back with Richard Justice. That'll be our old guy segment, Richie, about baseball when we return of MLB.com. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad. It's my new go-to guest destination for Craftsman products. I mean, that would be true if I wanted to buy these things.
Your new go-to
because destination. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in-store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are the mechanics tool sets in the gunmetal finish. And what's so great about that? Well, the gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable and long-lasting. And the best part is, if you're a stickler about cleaning your tools, it makes them easier to clean. And when I ask people to come over to my house to do these projects, because I can't do them myself, when they use the gunmetal chrome finish on their Craftsman tools, I am very impressed with
that.
Yes,
you are.
Lowe's carries a 51-piece and an 81-piece mechanics tool set in the gunmetal chrome finish. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet. A regular human has 32 teeth, but this has 120 teeth, and it offers extreme accessibility. So if one of your projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It's got a three-degree arc swing. A three-degree arc swing means, stupid, you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and three-degree arc swing, when I hear slim head and three-degree arc swing, I actually think of a snake. I think of a snake sitting up and hissing, and then me running till I stop
running.
You'd
kill the snake with something in your toolkit that you just bought.
Yes, I wouldn't do that. With its slim head and three-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener, which I think is important, I think. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. And in all sincerity, if I had any skills with this, if I did, I would get Craftsman tools. I don't have any skills, but I admire people who do very much. Shop the new home of Craftsman today at Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Sting, whose name is Gordon Sumner. Am I right on that? This is when he was with the police after he was an English teacher in high school in England somewhere. He's 68?
67 today.
67 today. He's like
still in the best shape of
anybody. My God.
Yeah. I mean, so good.
Yeah. Like Bruce Springsteen and Sting are in the best shape of any rock and roll, of any people. I guess they just, all they do is work out.
Work out and
sing. I love this song. I have no critical commentary. I love this song.
Diddy covered this song.
Was it interesting?
Because he did it as a sort of honoring of the late Notorious B.I.G., and it was really good. And Sting sang with him on the VMAs, back when the VMAs were a thing. Chris and I remember those days.
I do.
Sting wrote this in 82 after separating from Francis Tumelty, who was having an affair with her best friend and was so much criticism all across the planet for it. He went to the Caribbean to sort of retreat. As he said, I woke up in the middle of the night with that line in my head, every breath you take, every move you make, sat down at the piano and had written it in a half an hour.
There you go.
He said it was a really dark, sinister song, and he wrote it in a sort of angry way, talking about stalking an ex-lover. Yeah. And everyone, he said, I was really upset when everyone sort of loved it and said, oh, it's a great love song. He's like,
I don't know if it's a great love song. Listen to the lyrics.
Great tune. Great song.
It's a great tune. Richard Justice of MLB.com joins us now. We are in the most exciting time for sports with college football and professional football and the Ryder Cup concluding and baseball playoffs. And I can watch every pitch of baseball playoffs. And so before we talk about the Brewers winning and the Dodgers winning and what happens in the wild card, you need to explain something to me that I'm missing, and I saw it at the time and I didn't understand it at all. And that was why Ryan Braun tried to steal second yesterday with a man on third and one out and a two-run lead. Why would you do that, Richie?
My guess is it was a missed sign, that because it didn't make any sense. Now, there is that sometimes you want slower guys, the element of surprise. So I guess I'm telling you that I have no idea what he was thinking, and I think sometimes it happens that way.
We're sitting in various spots getting ready to do the PTI show, and I am downstairs away from Wilbon, so I have no idea what Wilbon is thinking at that point. But I say to all the camera people, What's he doing? Why would he do that? That's so crazy. And then you had a fly ball to right field, and I don't know if, yeah, I guess it's Kane. I don't know if he could have scored, but you take out all the element of another run when you do that. That's, you know, nuts.
No,
right?
I would be willing to bet he missed a sign on that. Or you know, a guy like that, a veteran guy, his instincts are great. Sometimes the guys who are most successful are the slowest guys. Now, the problem is it's a risk-reward thing, and like you said, you cost your team a run right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, unlike Wilbon, who is not surprised when the Cubs lose,
Wilbon.
Were you surprised with the Brewers Brewers winning? Were you surprised at all, or did you have them?
Is there a better team than the Brewers right now? I mean, the Dodgers are starting to look like a monster. But Milwaukee has everything you want. They have the National League MVP.
Yep.
They have a great, great bullpen. And everybody discounts their starting pitching, but it's doing what you're supposed to do. It's getting you to the fifth. You know, at this time of year, you just want those guys to get you to the fifth or the sixth inning. And the guy there that runs the team, David Stearns, has done a phenomenal job. And just step by step building up the farm system, then making a huge trade. You know, we may look back at last offseason and say the two best position players that changed teams were Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain.
Sure.
Those are the kind of players David Stearns likes to go get because they're complete players, and especially in Yelich's case, you know, he's signed for a team-friendly contract, and he is a guy that is going to be a star for a long time.
So I guess I'm really new to this. But I've heard something this year that in all my years I had not really heard, which is the sort of red line of twice through the order, and that there are teams that will say, no, our research says the third time through the order, this guy isn't any good. Milwaukee seems to be one of those teams, right, which is everybody goes twice and no more?
Yeah, that's right. And the numbers – Hey, first of all, let me just say a word about the Cubs. You know, and I know Wilbon's anguished.
No, yeah.
You know, they're beat up a little bit in terms of the bullpen. They don't really have a bullpen they can count on right now. But I think when you've played as many high-leverage games as they have the last 3 years, you do hit a wall at some point. They played more games than any team the last 3 years. And I think, you know, Joe Maddon, when they clinched, what he told the guys is, we're not having any fun. And I just think when your expectations are high and, you know, you're at a certain place, there is a point where you just run out of gas. I don't know if that's true. The analysts have known for a while that the numbers say third time through the order. Now, this doesn't count for Bob Gibson or Justin Verlander.
That's right. That's right.
You know, or guys like
that. Or Matt Scherzer.
And so, like, if you're in Tampa Bay, you say, we have a complete blank board here. We can try anything we want to try. So what we do is the most runs in baseball are scored in the first inning. The fewest runs in baseball are scored in the ninth inning. Now, why is that? Because they bring a one-inning guy in that throws 100 miles an hour and has the best stuff on your team. So what the opener theory is you treat the first inning and the ninth the same. So you bring a late-inning guy in to pitch the first inning. And what that does is it gives your starter. Then you bring the starter in the second inning. So now he can go deeper into the game and only has to face the lineup, particularly Mike Trout, for instance, only twice. And because the numbers say you can't get a guy out the third time. The numbers are off the charts, and especially more for certain guys than others. Again, this does not apply to the great ones. They are in a different category. But, yeah, so how do you avoid – And the Astros did this in the postseason last year, and the Dodgers did it. I was sitting, Game 5 of the World Series, I was sitting with our guy Ken Gernick, who covers the Dodgers. Rich Hill came back out to face George Springer a third time, and Ken Gernick says to me, oh, my God, I can't believe he's doing this. And he says, George Springer had better not hit a home run, and we'll be doing more than changing pitchers here in the middle of the inning. We'll be changing managers. George Springer hit a ball about 500 feet,
yes.
And we looked at each other and go, the numbers say you don't do that. Now, sometimes you do go with your gut feel and all of that. And the other thing you're going to see, and I think you're going to see it the way Oakland plays the Yankees tomorrow, they're just going to throw a reliever every inning. And what hitters will tell you, it is so unsettling because these guys are organized. They do all the video work and all that. I'm going to face this guy. He's going to throw me this. This is what he's done in the past. Well, when you have to prepare for a different guy, three different guys or four different guys, the word that Rays use and the word I've heard both Red Sox and Astros hitters use is it's unsettling, and it's working. Now, do you think it's bad for the game to have a game where you have seven relievers?
No.
I don't know whether it's bad for
no,
the
if
game.
You build your team that way, why? That's fine.
Right, right. And so that's where
Rob Manfred thinks it's bad.
It worked in Tampa. Tampa had the second best ERA in baseball after mid-May when they started doing this. And it's pretty cool, you know. So we're going to see a reliever start for the A's tomorrow.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. And to me, and I know the commissioner and Rob Manfred doesn't like all these things, but if that's how you build your team and you win, I mean, Kansas City started this three or four years ago.
You know, they have all these smart guys. Like a friend of mine with the Astros went through the Yankees to try to figure out how many analytics guys the Yankees have. And I said, well, how do you determine if a guy is an analytics guy? And he said, well, if he's got a math degree from MIT, he's probably not a hitting coach at AA.
That's right.
And so they just look at the game, you know. Okay, Craig Biggio and I had this talk. You know, you hit line drives, you hit the ball on the ground, you run. That's not what they want now. I said, Craig, your kid who's in the Blue Jays system, he's being taught, get the ball in the air. That's how runs are scored. And while people want to legislate against it, you can't shift, you can't change relief pitchers every 12 minutes. The other side of it is it's really fascinating to see what smart people do and how it'll evolve and how they will answer the challenges and all this.
The Dodgers won the regular way yesterday. They hit a couple of home runs.
With a stud. They won with a cocky little guy that knows he's good, and Walker Buehler is his name. And now they go into the playoffs with Kershaw and Buehler and Ryu and an old guy named Rich Hill, and they're pretty good right now.
So you like them, and you like the Brewers. Who do you like in the wild card tonight?
I think Oakland's a monster. Oakland doesn't have any starting pitching to speak of, but what they have is one of the great bullpen that's ever been built. They have a great defense, and they hit the ball over the fence. Tony, this kid, everything changed for them midseason a year ago when they brought this kid, Matt Chapman, up to play third. They had Bob Melvin would write down Matt Chapman at third and Matt Olson at first, and they said, these are our cornerstones for a generation. You saw Brooks Robinson play.
Yeah.
You have never seen a third baseman better than Matt Chapman. He is astonishing, and he's a star in the making. In the second half of the season in the American League, there were not two better players than Alex Bregman of the Astros and Matt Chapman of the A's. And so I think Oakland is on a real roll, and if I'm the Yankees, you know you're going to have your hands full. And who do the Yankees start? Are they going to start Happ or Severino? And look, the Yankees won 100 games. It's easy to discount that. They finished second and all that. They are a really, really good team. But Oakland, they're playing carefree and confident, and they feel they're on a magical ride. I mean, if you tell me Oakland, you know, Billy Beane's never won a postseason series for all the brilliance he's done and all the ways he's changed the game. If you tell me Billy Beane's going to end up with a World Series trophy, no one should be surprised.
So, and I guess I had it wrong. I thought that the National League wild card game was today, but I guess that's tomorrow.
No, it is. Today.
Who do you like in that? Who do you like, do you think it's fair to make the team from the night game, do you think it's fair to make them travel all the way across the country to play today?
Well, you were playing a game 163, and the advantage is you want the gut team that won the division in 162 to have all the advantages. That's why when you talk about, you know, the wild card should be best two out of three, what Rob Manfred has said is no.
No, one is great.
You cannot ask your division winner to sit around. The whole reason we did this was to restore emphasis to winning the division. And so if you ask your division winner to sit around for an extra few days, you're disadvantaging them. So, yeah, is it fair? It's not fair, but look, they had a celebration, and they're happy to be there, and they're going to go play and all of that. You know, you get a chance to prove yourself again. It is an advantage for the Cubs, but, you know, it's going to come down to who sets the tone in terms of starting pitching.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this, and it's the question that I asked for local reasons, because I've watched Bryce Harper for a lot of years. Is he going somewhere? And if he's going somewhere, where do you think he's going?
Well, I think the Phillies are the team that have the money and the inclination to spend a lot of it, and that's both with Machado and Harper. And I think that Colin Boz wrote a week or two ago, like, if you're the Nationals, if it's just about baseball decisions, and let's say the number is 10 years, $300 million, is that the best way for the Nationals to spend that money when they so desperately need pitching? And that's an interesting discussion. And what maybe Mike Rizzo and the Lerner family would say is yes, but re-signing Bryce Harper is about branding and about franchise value. These big contracts don't work out very often. A-Rod's did, you know, and Giancarlo Stanton's may work out. But I tend to think he's going to stay because he's comfortable. The Lerners have the money to spend for him. But, again, if it keeps you from putting a great team on the field. I mean, when you've had a season like they've had, what do they finish, 2 games over .500?
2 over, the most disappointing team in the league.
You better go back to the drawing board.
Right.
And same thing in Baltimore. When you've lost every game in a season, you better go back and look at your decision-making and how your team is constructed. Because if they don't have Bryce, are they going to be any more disappointing than they were this year? You know, these are tough conversations to have, and I'm not sure there's a right answer to it. My gut feeling is, though, he's going to stay. They have the money to keep him. He's a creature of habit. He's comfortable there. And also, who's going to give him that money? Who's going to give him $300 million or whatever the number ends up being? They're just teams not out there inclined to do that anymore.
Thank you, Richie. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate it. Talk to you a lot, actually, during the playoffs. I like that a lot. Thank you. Richard Justice, boys and girls. MLB.com, who's the best beat writer I've ever been around in all the years that I did that.
He's part of probably the greatest sports writing page in the history of Western civilization, that night, late 80s, right?
Pretty good.
The WAPO?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back with email and jingles.
Yes, an oldie but a goodie in honor of Luke. Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here I am in my tent tonight, trying to get some shut-eye in the jungle of Tanzania.
Oldie but a goodie.
Will the beasts and leopards cause me fright? So I put on my headphones to forget I saw that cheetah. Safari guide, he told us today, zip your tents up tight and please don't leave them when the sun goes down. I turned to him as if to say, what the fuck am I doing out here, man? I'd rather be in a club with Matt Harvey and his crew. But instead I'm scared to death that I'm in some mailbag too. I'm surrounded by lions down in Africa. Gonna take some time to get my new me undies clean.
Joe Arrow, it's brilliant. The Toto song, inspired by an idea by Andre Zubkov in New Zealand.
How about
and
that?
I think New Zealand's far. It is far. But we got people here from the Virgin Islands today. Oh. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports and Richard Justice of MLB.com for coming on the show today. Let me thank the sponsors, 23andMe, Lowe's, and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From our friend Roy Neal, Murray Leifer, Bobby Appleby, and my stepdaughter Laura Daly, a classmate of Michael's, and my son Sam, will be married this Friday in the barn at Loveless Cafe in Nashville. People from 13 different Murray classes will be in attendance. Grandsons Henry and Tommy will bear flowers and rings. I will DJ as much old guy music as the kids will allow. Would invite you, Tony, but I'm sure you'll be on the course during your day off this Friday. Best wishes to the crew there. Our chatter-based podcast, Fed Up, will resume next week. Thank you for the shout-out.
Sam Neill, by the way, boys and girls, throws a very good house party with his lovely wife, Lenny. So if you ever get invited, you go, because they got food, tons of booze. It's a quality time.
He also, as a kid, Sam used to throw it at about 85 miles an hour and struck out was it 16?
Huge, huge curve as well.
Did he strike out 16 in a Little League playoff game?
He had the record
for
a year.
Sam was great.
He's silent assassin.
Will Graves in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, during a road trip from Pittsburgh to Maryland over the weekend for a family wedding. We listened to Friday's show. My 7-year-old daughter, Catherine, sat quietly in the back with her diary. I'm not sure if it was Carville's picks or the jingles, but as the closing song rolled, she announced to the rest of the family she'd had just enough of this podcast and read the following review out loud. I've attached a picture of it so it could go on the wall with chatter, but here's the translation, edited for clarity. The Tony Kornheiser Show. I'm sorry, the Tony Boerheiser Show.
Oh,
I'm serious. The Tony Kornheiser Show is really boring, and I'm going to jump out of the car for real. It's not just boring. It's boring, 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 and I hate it. She and her 9-year-old brother and the person I'm related to by marriage have been subjected to the pod for years, but instead of the Stockholm Syndrome setting in, she appears to be going the other way. Yes, she's little. She's definitely not loyal. Anyway, the joke's on her. Little does she know our college plan for her is based largely on the return we expect to get from my signed copy if I'm back for more cash. From Justin. Conversation I had with my 9-year-old son I thought Mr. Tony would like. Son, will anyone live on Mars? Dad, probably not. Son, what about Uranus? Dad, no, too stinky. Son, laugh out loud. Dad, I'm going to get some chili. Son, well, nobody's going to want to live on Uranus. Proud moment for me, Justin. Jack Selby, Falls Church, Virginia. How did the blind person who sent them the music for news on Monday actually send the email? Scott Moffitt, Richmond, Virginia. Hey, You wondered yesterday if sight is not important while playing music. Hey, Grandpa, Stevie Wonder, with his 25 Grammy Awards, would like to talk to you.
Probably a good point.
From Dan Gattuso in Austin, Texas. From Monday's show, maybe sight is not important when you play music, but it seems to me it should be a little bit. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, Art Tatum, Andrea Bocelli, Diane Shore, Jose Feliciano, Jeff Healey, Ronnie Millsap, Blind Willie Johnson, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Blind Lemon Jefferson. Good job out of you, Grandpa. As always, information for life. Alex from Los Angeles, but currently in Switzerland. I'm writing to you from my travels in Zermatt, home of the Matterhorn. Today I went on a 2-hour hike around the base of the peak with a podcast in my ears. Nothing like the dramatic contrast of beautiful landscapes in your voice. It made me appreciate the nature even more. I'd also like to share that I'm staying at a hotel with a 2-bathrobe situation. Since I'm traveling alone, I think it's only appropriate to alternate bathrobes each day. Tell Sansi the toilets aren't heated, but they get the job done. Please give a shout out to longtime little Peter Schwab. He's the president of the country club I plan on joining one day, so this should help my chances or drastically hurt them. From Brandon Borzelli in Lebanon, New Jersey. While you and Wilbon were discussing which baseball division had the strongest number of teams, either the AL East or the NL Central, I kept wondering about the AL West. I went off and did some heavy number crunching. If you add up the number of wins for each team, the AL East has 418 total wins. The NL Central has 428. The AL West has 436. The AL West may be the strongest division when viewed through this lens. This new metric I've decided to call adding, or add for short. The full name for the analytical tool is called addition, but I figured shortening the word would make it easier to remember. So you have Houston, you have the Angels, you have the A's.
Seattle.
Seattle was good this year, yeah.
Seattle was good this year. Nick in Gainesville, Florida. While listening to Monday's show, I had it connected to my speaker as I was out of the room. Then when you were reading the Alexa ad and you said you could even say, Alexa, how do I watch live sports? And then my roommate's Alexa abruptly chimes in with, sorry, I'm not sure. I mean, come on, dealing with her is like asking Gary to do the math or asking Saliza to talk politics, all the same. If you're out of your bike tight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
But we don't have the chaputzvah to do it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. We don't have the shoot.
To
straighter than a razor, but you don't have the blaze. I was born a fire chaser.